the toad. Waiting, wondering, is getting too old. I'm gonna let down my hair, light up my skirt. Get me up to be the biggest little fur. Well, I might.
Welcome to the Shame Free Zone with Veronica Monet, your friendly former sex worker and certified sexologist. The Shame-Free Zone is a safe place for your questions and your secrets about all things sexual.
Hey, welcome to the Shame-Free Zone. This is your host, Veronica Monet. Got a very interesting topic this morning. I have to confess, I was so interested in this topic for my own purposes, I decided to turn it into a radio show. And I think you will find it interesting as well. We're talking about remothering for undermothered women. Now, I don't know if that jumps out for you, but it sure did for me. I was like, undermothered women, that's an interesting concept. So with me today is Asunja Kim. Now, I wanted to call her Dr. Kim, but she won't let me. She wanted to make sure that I know that she is actually a she's got a master's in social work, and she's a licensed clinical social worker. So she's not technically a doctor, but I think she's got some amazing takes on this topic. She's got 31 years of experience as a psychotherapist, 26 years in private practice, specializing in working with undermothered women. And as if that wasn't enough, she's got postgraduate training in psychosynthesis, self-psychology, alchemical hypnotherapy, emotionally focused couple therapy, integral yoga psychology, emotional freedom technique, nonviolent communication, take a breath, the list is long, Reiki, somatic work, and then some stuff, I'm not even sure how you say this, I'll have to ask her, Kairos, bioenergetics, gestalt therapy, jin shin jitsu, group therapy, and family therapy. So, I don't know why they haven't given her a PhD yet, because she sounds like she deserves one. But, Asunja Kim, are you on the line?
Yes, I am. Here I am. Yeah.
Hello, Asunja?
Yes. Hi. Can you hear me?
Oh, now I can hear you. Hi.
Hi.
I thought we had lost you.
Uh-huh. I'm right here. Thank you for your wonderful introduction.
There you are. Well, you've got an amazing background, So if I may, what caused you to go? I haven't read anybody talking about this topic of undermothered women. And I'm wondering how you stumbled across this, or maybe you didn't. Maybe it's always been a passion of yours. But can you tell us a little bit about how you developed this concept?
Yes, I will. Well, I myself was undermothered. You know, I had so much love for my mother, but I was born in Japan. I'm Korean, born in Japan, and the girls were not prized there. So there was just a lot of undervaluing of me as a girl, and my mother being very busy and not being there for me. And there's a lot of things that I had suffered. You know, my mother was a great role model in terms of she as a woman, but as a mother for a little girl, she was not there for me. And that wound, that pain carried through into my adulthood, and I became a psychotherapist. There's a path of psychotherapy that's wounded healer's path. And through my wound, I tried to reach out to different healers to get this particular wounding, the mother-daughter wound, healed. And most of the Western psychotherapy, they are very good in helping women move towards self-sufficiency, autonomy, clarity, individuation, and independence. However, it really did not touch upon the very, very primal longing to just be loved passively without having to earn love, without having to achieve or succeed or do anything, but just a simple, unconditional love for just being you and being adored. So the regular Western psychotherapy tries to move you out of that kind of a need for primal love and passive love. And so the regular therapy for me worked for me in a certain way, but never really addressed the very primal longing. And so when I started my private practice 26 years ago, these women who were coming to me when I was specializing, just working with women, these women were coming to me and didn't want me to be the neutral, objective psychotherapist. They wanted me to love them, adore them, praise them, be much more personal with them, like what they would wish their mother could have been. And so I really started to start loving them, even though my orthodox training at University of Southern California told me you should not love your clients. But my clients were just asking for that. And I myself knew what it's like to be so hungry for love and wanting so much validation and just pure love rather than more insight into my dynamics or et cetera. So I started to do more of the mothering work with them. And also I myself had found somebody who was a spiritual teacher, and even though he was a man, he mothered me, and that really made the whole difference. Then I for personally knew the difference between just regular psychotherapy, which is much more objective and very boundaried, and realized how wonderful it feels in my body, my spirit, my heart, to have someone just love you unconditionally and adore you, you know, not just spiritual unconditional love of certain universalness, but very, very personalized kind of love. That's what did it. That really helped me to realize, wow, I am really okay as I am, and how nourishing that feels to my whole being. And that's when I really, really wanted to zero in on this, you know, to zero in on loving my clients unconditionally, and for me to want that for myself, and it made a whole difference. So that's how I came. Yes.
Well, it sounds like a remarkable journey, and I'm wondering for our listeners. They may be wondering, how do I know if I am undermothered? Is there certain attributes or characteristics that a woman could look for in herself to determine if she is an undermothered woman?
Uh-huh. Well, there's, you know, a lot of people may not even realize that, in a sense that a lot of women feel very defended against that wish to be mothered, and defended against finding out that they have been undermothered, that their mother wasn't emotionally available for them. So one of the key symptoms that is universal to undermothered women who haven't been healed is that there's tremendous amount of shame, especially around their emotional neediness. And the shame is sometimes so covered up, so denied, that many undermothered women don't even know that they feel shamed about their needs. They don't even know that they have a lot of emotional needs that are being unmet. So I think the clients that I do work with, they have some sense that their life isn't quite working, that there's a lot of insecurity. Even if they are very competent in the external world, you know, most of my clients are professional women, they're very independent and competent, but inside they still feel vulnerable and fragile. Sometimes they feel like they are imposters. You know, and not all of these things that I'm saying, they apply to undermothered women, but in this highly technological society, women tend to be undermothered because, number one, being born in the hospital, you know, usually things are changing now, but 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago, it's like in the hospital practice, they didn't really respect the bonding between the mother and the baby. And the baby was
right.
Just whisked away from the mother. The breastfeeding was not available because they, you know, the doctors thought that formula was even better for the babies. So a lot of the important bonding experiences got alienated through the technological advancement thinking. And
that happened for me because I'm 49 this year. When I was born in a little small country hospital, they whisked me away and put me in a nursery. My mother was forbidden to get up from her bed, not because of any medical condition, but just because the medical profession back then was very heavy-handed. They told people what to do, and people did it. So they told my mother she couldn't get out of bed, and they put me in the nursery, and apparently I cried the entire night, and nobody ever came to pick me up, and my mother couldn't go get me, and so I just cried and cried and cried until I guess, passed out from the lack of energy.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. So when you said how do people know they're undermothered, I think in many, many cases they're undermothered, and some of them know it, some of them don't know it. They have really repressed that horrendous pain of not getting their attachment and bonding needs met through their mothers. And sometimes it's not even mother's fault. You know,
right.
I think everybody has been so conditioned by quote-unquote experts' knowledge that they didn't, there was no support for their deep feminine wisdom to mother their child from their heart and their body and their spirit.
That's so sad.
Yes, very sad. So I think so many women in the Western society has been deprived of the mothering, and so many women have been deprived of being able to mother their children from their heart and from their wisdom of their bodies.
You wrote an article called Sweet Remothering for Undermothered Women in the Open Exchange magazine in the April, May, June 2009 issue. So this is the most current issue of Open Exchange. And I'd like to read the very first paragraph because I think it is just such a beautiful summary of what you're talking about here. These are your words as it appears in your article in Open Exchange. We modern undermothered women have striven to be independent, strong, resilient, sophisticated, astute, and assertive. In the process, we have tended to devalue the quality of sweetness as something meek or docile, uninteresting, and not sexy. We do not want to be like our mothers before the feminist movement, dependent, striving to be sweet and nice, trying hard to please others at their own expense. So, instead of accessing genuine sweetness from within ourselves and with each other, we seek sweetness in foods such as chocolate, ice cream, drinks, and pastries. It's brilliant.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's that sweetness in mother's milk that we are really hungering for, that we were deprived of. Yes, and the mother's milk is absolutely complete. You know, it has all the nourishment that a baby needs.
Right.
And it also has the right amount of natural sweetness. And Go ahead.
Well, I think, too, that this might be one of the symptoms, right? Am I undermothered? Well, do I have a compulsive, obsessive, or addictive relationship with food? Do I go to food to comfort me and nurture me? If I use food in that in sense, then perhaps, you know, that would be, don't you think, a thing to look for?
Right, exactly. It's that people, there's a symptom of, you know, trying to get comforting and soothing and love, you move towards secondary need rather than the primary. Instead
right.
of going straight to a direct emotional closeness with genuine human beings, you go to the secondary, at the next best thing, which are material things that you have more control over, like food, you know, drugs.
Well, maybe I personally don't overeat, and I can't eat sweets because I have blood sugar problems and food allergies, so I don't really get to indulge in the food thing, but I love to shop for shoes.
Yes. I think it's that we're talking about relative, you know, the excess. When we have a tendency, we no longer have freedom in saying yes or no to these secondary gains.
Right.
Then
right.
for, you know, especially towards the need for comfort and soothing and being loved and adored, then, you know, the very good chance that you really haven't gotten the enough mothering that you as a little girl needed growing up.
And now, one of the things that you talk about in your article here, too, is that you said that, you know, that a lot of us feel that if we admit that we need to be mothered, that admission would feel regressive and immature to us and you know, kind of fly in the face of our image of ourselves as competent adult women. So how can you help women who have worked so hard to have adult competent status in the workplace and in life to be able to find this balance so that they don't feel like they're regressing or giving up their feminism or going back to be Stepford wives like their mothers? How can women find their balance in this?
Uh-huh. Well, you know, part of it, I mean, this is much more in, it's a deeper way of working, it's more psychotherapeutically, but it's a lot of that trying to achieve out in the world is sometimes motivated out of shame, you know, motivated out of, oh, I'm not good enough, and therefore I have to work even harder and to accomplish and earn recognition and so on, you know, but also there's part of genuine, part of us, a genuine need for mastery and control and perfection that's also, there, we are motivated by that too. But the baby is the genuine motivation for mastery and control and perfection. But the dirty bathwater is that the shame that maybe we're not good enough, so we have to work extra to be more, so that we can finally be loved. But the antidote to all of this is really going towards radical self-acceptance. To no matter what, no matter whether you don't do a good job or do a good job, whatever, that you're really okay as you are. That you're already perfect. You know, no matter whether it's imperfect on the external plane, internally, you're just perfect. And you know, even if you could just imagine that having an ideal mother who just loves you no matter what, you know, like, you know, mothers who would put up their children's drawings or paintings up on the refrigerator, and for them that's a masterpiece. So, you know, it may not be objectively true from the existing culture, but from the
wow.
internal emotional truth is that, wow, you're a genius, you're a master, you know, you're just wonderful, pure wonderful, and I love you. So just having those voices inside, installed in your brain, those voices, no matter what I do, I'm a genius. No matter what I do, I'm just perfect. I love it. And that kind of internal voice would do wonders for your neurochemistry. You know, for the reptilian brain, which is the lowest part of the brain.
Right.
It really doesn't matter what is the external objective truth, as long as you feel it inside or you can visualize it inside of your brain. It's just as true as if it's really happening. So, and you reprogram that reptilian brain, and by just really just visualizing how perfect you are, how wonderful you are, how balanced you are, how easeful you move through life. And then it actually changes your neurochemistry and gives you better neurotransmitters that make you feel happier, more balanced, more at ease.
Wow. So what would you, what would be a treatment modality that you use when you're working with your women clients and you are helping them with this remothering process? Do you do somatic exercises, like work with the body, or is it talk therapy? Do you give homework? How, give us an example of, how you would help a mother, help a woman remother herself, or is it that you remother her? And if so, how does that work?
Okay, there's a couple things. I do try to do remothering from outside in, as well as remothering from inside out.
Okay.
So there are two processes, outer mothering and inner mothering.
Okay.
I do keep those two processes in mind. However, there are a lot of people out there helping people to install their inner mothering. But what is unique about my work is that I also put a lot of emphasis on outer mothering and encourage or give permission, not so much encourage, but actually to give permission to the undermothered women's real already internal longing to be mothered from outside in, to have somebody else do the mothering for you.
Okay.
And yeah, that's more like the passive love rather than active love, where you passively receive love. So in my work, and especially for women who really are too tired, or they don't even know how to love oneself and feel very ashamed because, you know, all the top psychology or many people says, you've got to love yourself first. You know, that is very shaming and rewounding for many undermothered women because, frankly, sometimes they don't really know how to love themselves. So they really do need somebody else to show them how to love them. Like, so I do a lot of the loving, and so what I mean by loving them, number one, which is to really, really tune in to who each woman is like. So it's a very custom tailoring process so that they feel that they're being seen exactly for who they are rather than my just doing different kinds of techniques.
Okay.
You know, I do have a host of technology, you know, as you were reading, I mean, you were saying in the beginning of the show, I got training in many, many different forms. And they are in my background, but the first and foremost thing is for me to see clearly who this person is. And then we collaborate together. We try to find something that really works for them. So let me, you know, I like to use the three L's, you know, the word L. That's one is lesson, and number two is love, and three is lean on one another. So it's like listening to the undermothered women.
So listen, Listen, love, and lean
on one another. Yes.
So this is really about bringing some Eastern sensibilities to the Western paradigm, isn't it? Really about cooperation and community as opposed to trying to be some independent person who does everything for themselves?
Yes, because there's in the Eastern spirituality, it's the oneness that's emphasized, not so much the separateness and independence. And also in the Eastern spirituality, oneness as well as beingness. Just being rather than becoming, achieving, succeeding, acting. You know, none of those, you know, becoming, succeeding, achieving, those are good things as well. It's just a matter of really balancing the beingness and the becoming.
And so what are some of the things that people can do? And just being, not having to always doing, because we are human beings, not human doings. That affects both men and women. What would you tell the men and women who are our listeners today about how they can be, how they can find that balance in just being? What's an action? What would you do? Or maybe that's the whole point. You don't do anything, but then people are left with
actually, doing is okay. I think if for self-help method, for people to do it on their own, what I probably will recommend most is visualizing and affirmation. So it's a visualizing, because in the visualization, inner visualization, you really combine the becoming and the being.
Now, I'm sure that a lot of our listeners know what affirmations and visualizing is, but you know what? We can all use a course on how to do it properly. So can you describe those for us?
Yes. I mean, the way that I would instruct my clients to do visualization and affirmation is like in the visualization, it's sort of like a guided imagery inward. So you sit or lie down in a very comfortable place. And imagine, I usually use this image, and it could be many. You know, just imagine a beautiful pink ball of light right above your whole body. And imagine a ray of this wonderful, nourishing, nurturing pink light, energized, moving down, showering you down into your whole body, and your body just absorbing like a sponge. And moving inward, and then visualize a beautiful place of sanctuary. It could be anything, anyway. It could be your bedroom, it could be the ocean, the mountains, anywhere you feel really safe and able to be in touch with the qualities of harmony and love and beauty. And then in that space, you can start visualizing, imagine a mother, your ideal mother. So this is a visualization is wonderful because you can make it as perfect or any way you like. You are the boss in terms of creating exactly the image that would fit you. So you feel, you have a chance to imagine and visualize, picture in your brain, in the screen of your mind. This beautiful scenery where you find your mother, an ideal mother who will mother you, hold you, comfort you, talk with you, praise you, sit with you, play with you, anything that you've been missing that you wish your mother could have done with you. And then imagine, sitting with her and imagine planning out your life with her. And imagine, her accompanying you in every step of the way, your first kindergarten day, the first grade day, junior high school, college, or, your wedding day, or your first time on your date, or your first employment, anything. Just feeling her just accompanying you in exact distance or closeness that you design for yourself. And so that's what I mean by visualization. Just imagine there's a screen in your mind that you can be a director and create sceneries that will be very nourishing and mothering for you.
And now, that's just going to bring up, I would imagine, I mean, I'm kind of following along as you're describing this, and what's becoming really poignant and apparent for me is, like, as I try to imagine this ideal mother, the grief that I feel about the ways in which my mother fell short of all of that, it comes up. So,
absolutely. Yes. Thank you so much for bringing that up, because that is definitely very, very usual process. So in that article, I do address that you were reading earlier. I do address that later on. But yes, there's just so much grief as you start to relax into your body as visualizing. You start to remember, my gosh, my mother wasn't there for me, and I really did need this so much. And so, yes, there is a period of mourning and grieving. And so when that happens, just imagine this ideal mother just holding you, or just being there in the beautiful sound of silence, and just let yourself grieve. And imagine her saying, it's okay, it's really okay to cry now. It's really okay to be really angry and for not having what you needed. It's really okay to feel everything you felt. It's okay to have felt jealousy for you, your sister, your brother. It's really okay to be mad at your mother. Just allow it. All your feelings are okay. So then you can have all time in the world with me in this beautiful place to have all of your feelings. So imagine her just simply being there, not rushing you, not telling you what to do, but letting you have all your feelings in your heart, in your spirit, and in your body. And
wow,
just let it be.
That's some very powerful stuff. I'm getting all teary-eyed and choked up here.
Yeah,
you know, it's interesting the voices in my head that I discovered just following along with you was, you know, why wasn't I good enough?
Yes.
And I can't help but think that a lot of women who find themselves being workaholics and overachievers and very driven, that it would seem like a lot of them probably would have that feeling of, like, I'm not good enough.
That's right. I am not good enough. Yes. You know, Veronica, the fact that you said not just I'm not good enough, you say, why was I not good enough? You know, there's something good about that question. Why was I not? Because inside of you, deep inside of you, the fact that you are saying why, you are able to protest for the injustice. Because I think, you know, when we first came into the world, we already knew that we were good enough. And that's why it's like a rug has been pulled from under us.
Like it's a sense of betrayal, kind of?
Exactly,
like,
sense of betrayal, because we already knew we are good enough, we are lovable. That's imprinted in our soul. So, and as we came into the world, we didn't get a mirroring for that.
Right.
That we are just perfect as we are. And so there's a voice inside says, why? Why am I being treated this way? Why wasn't I good enough for you, Mom? Why wasn't I good enough for you, Dad? Why wasn't I good enough for you, period, you know? Because, of course, I am good enough, but I don't understand. It's a betrayal, sense of betrayal, and it's a total disorientation and confusion to to receive exact opposite response from the outside world than what you know inside. And that's when that little baby starts to get disconnected from their true knowing, their own wonderful feminine wisdom or masculine wisdom if it's a man.
What is that? It sounds great, but I find myself wondering, what is the feminine wisdom that I have that I'm disconnected from? What would that look like?
Okay, so, in the feminine wisdom, this is where we're coming back to your feminine wisdom. What is good is the somatic approach, because the body doesn't lie, and you... So, earlier on you asked, what do you use and so on. The somatic approach is good. Coming back into your body, listening to your body, that will bring you to the present. And, so I recommend, like being held by your friends or asking someone just to hold you or massage, or just caressing your body, even pleasuring yourself, anything that coming back to your body, and then giving yourself time to sit with that, being in the present moment with your body's senses, sensations. And that, again, that might initially, you might initially have to go through the grieving process and let all the different feelings come forward. And then you can go deeper and deeper into your inner knowing. The feminine wisdom, that is stored inside of you.
So and really, feminine wisdom then is connected to the body? Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Well, the body actually helps you to move yourself into the present moment. And then you have a better access to the portal into your inner self. So it's not the body, it's the feminine wisdom per se. It's just that it just helps you to come into the present moment with your breath and your body, and then you can begin to lessen, one of those three words, lessen, love, and lean on each other. You can begin to lessen, and as you keep developing your ability to come into your body, breathe, move inward, visualize a deeper, beautiful inner sanctuary, and keep affirming the universal truth that you are really okay as you are. You are perfect. There's all the time in the world, moving into the timeless space. You can begin to listen to that wise voice inside of you. And what you hear may be very different than anybody else's wisdom, but it's something, Veronica, like you have a very particular inner mission that's encoded in you. Again, this is my belief, encoded in you. So you need to come into your present moment, and coming through the body is a very good way to move into the present moment. And then visualizing is a wonderful way to go inward, to know that there's a world besides the world that you see through your five senses. And this, deeper intuitive knowing inside of you, the visualization can help you move into your intuition and move down, down deep into your inner self. And affirmation really validates more of the universal truth of love and harmony and beauty and perfection.
What would be a sample affirmation for a woman who wants to re-mother herself?
That she can say, I am totally loved for who I am. Something like that. I am just perfect as I am. I am absolutely lovable. I have all the time in the world to be all that I am. All the
time in the world to be all that I am.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And also you can say that, yeah, and that I think that basically that I am really loved.
Very, very beautiful. So now, tell us a little bit about your practice so that if our, I would imagine that our listeners, if they're anything like me, they've probably found themselves somewhat hypnotized and seduced just by your voice.
Thank you.
So if we want more,
I do have a website.
Oh, you do? And,
yes, so that my website address is motheringundermotheredwomen.com.
Motheringundermotheredwomen.com. Undermotheredwomen.com. Now, I thought a few days ago when I talked to you, you didn't have one, so is this new?
Oh, you know, I had the website site, but I finally put all the information in there.
Ah, I got that.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Well,
so,
Do you know what Twitter is? Everybody Twitters nowadays.
Oh, you know, I think I'm in the generation that sort of a little past you guys.
Okay. Well, so motheringundermotheredwomen.com.
Right.
I'm going to put that on Twitter right now. Twitter goes out to my Facebook and my MySpace. And all over the internet, so thousands of people are going to see that.
And then, you know, should I give you my phone number right now, or what's?
Oh, sure. Yeah,
it's
give us your phone number too.
My office number is 510-666-0207.
0207. And then, so do people work with you in person, or where are you located?
I'm located in North Berkeley. And my practice is like 30% on the phone and 70% in person, because I'm one of the very, very few people who are doing something like this, remothering the world. So I have people from, you know, out of the country as well as all over the United States.
Wow.
And so they, I do phone sessions with them. And then about 70% of the clients I see in my office. And also people come in from out of town for like intensive work too. Like, you know, I can do a session from 30 minutes sessions up to the longest session I ever had is 14 hours a day.
Wow.
I spend as many hours as 14 hours with one client doing the remothering. What she wanted was to have an experience of having a mothering figure who would do everything with her, go to the beach, have lunch, dinner, and tuck her into bed and sing her a lullaby.
Oh, my God. I want one of those.
Yes. So it's my...
Where did this woman fly in from?
So,
Did she fly in from someplace? Excuse me?
Yes.
Was she local or did she fly in from someplace?
That particular person flew in from Los Angeles, but there are people from Hawaii and some, you know, one from Germany, you know.
Wow.
Yeah, just Europe or India, you know, places that somehow they find me.
So you are a mother to the world.
Oh, thank you.
Does that ever get overwhelming?
Well, you know, when the overwhelm does happen, what I just do is what I just mentioned this interview. I go back inward, visualize wonderful place, and imagine my ideal mother just mothering me and say, "You're okay, I'll hold you." And just come back into your body. The overwhelm happens when you sort of, you know, forget your body, get out of the body. So you've got to come back into your body, and I'm here for you. And let's listen to the sound of the brook or the ocean or the birds.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's how I do that. as well as I get nurturing myself, massage, Reiki. You know, I have a whole team of nurturers around me, friends, all of that.
Right. I think that's really important when you're helping other people, that you've got to make sure you've got a team of people that are helping you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So I definitely try to get the nourishment from outside in as well as from inside out.
Mm. Wow. 14 hours of flying in from another area to be mothered, even tucked into bed. That's awesome.
Yes. I know. I mean, some people think it's great, and some people think, oh, my God, this is crazy. You can go bankrupt.
Oh, honey, I'm so overworked. I think it's great.
Yeah.
Already.
So again, you know, my work is very, very custom tailored to each person. You know, one person may say, no, I don't want that many hours. And some people say, I can't get enough. You know,
right.
So all of that. So each person.
Well, I would imagine coming in from, you know, she's flying up. She wants to try to get as much as she can into that one day.
That's right. Right.
Right.
Or, you know, she came for like 3-4 day intensive. And just one of those days were 14 hours. Yeah.
Wow, amazing. Absolutely amazing. So this is a really unique type of therapy because I've worked with a lot of therapists over the years and, you know, it's always just, I'm sorry, your hour's up. people don't usually offer to custom craft an interaction or a session for you that's specific to you, you know. It's kind of like they have their thing that they do, and if what they do works for you, great, and if it doesn't, oh well.
Right. Yeah.
It's interesting. So I hope you have gotten some expert advice on branding, and, you know, because since you are kind of, you're forging ahead in this, you're like the only one that's doing this right now. I would imagine eventually some people are going to start trying to copy you.
I really hope, because there's a real need for this for many people. You know, people don't have
to
fly.
You're a perfect mother. I got my businesswoman competitive hat on. I'm like, going, you better get an attorney and get yourself service marked and branded. And you're like, oh, no, they can copy me. I hope they do.
Oh, absolutely, because then people don't have to fly in from so far away. If they could find a local remothering person.
Well, okay, but I have a hunch that it's not just what you're doing. It has a little something to do with you and, you know, the gifts that come natural to you, Sundra.
Oh, thank you so much, Veronica. It's just been great talking with you.
Well, we are coming up on, we've probably got about 2 or 3 minutes left.
Okay.
Yes, we do have to sign off soon. I'm so glad you have a website up because I was like trying to figure out where I was going to refer people to. So
yeah.
I guess I'm on Twitter for you now.
Yes. Everybody pitched in so that I could have this website ready for you today.
Oh my God! Talk about mothering!
Yeah. Everybody just said, "Okay, I'll go to work for you in a week and get it done."
Oh, that was awesome. Well, you really walk your talk, don't you?
Yes.
Well, you know, we should probably try to end this on a happy note. And I'm looking at some of the final words that you say in your article here, and you talk about that there is a gradual remembering of the joy and abundance that is your birthright. Your life will reflect more and more of what you truly want. You can be reborn into a life that feels sweeter, more joyful, and more effortless. Anything you want to add to that? That is quite beautiful.
Well, I just want to say that I love you all. And it's
just,
yeah, I love you all. And as you go inward, you really realize that you do love everyone. There is such a thing as universal love that everyone can access. You
know, I just, mm-hmm. I'll tell you, several things that you shared today are just so beautiful, and I love that you're working out of the box, because I'm not a licensed therapist, but I have a degree in psychology, and this, I've had the very thorough indoctrination, and, you know, that it's all about boundaries, professional boundaries, and how you can't, all the ways in which you are not allowed to engage the client.
Yes.
And with my clients, you know, some of them absolutely need to hear that they are loved. And I don't just say the words, I love you, as an empty exercise. I do feel it, but it's a different kind of love. It's not being in love, and it's mm-hmm. not the kind of love I have for family members. It's the kind of love I have for clients, and it's very real.
Absolutely. It's so real. For me, not to be able to say that, that's harder for me. Yeah, it's just hard to contain the love I feel. It's just, I want to express
right. It.
Yeah.
Well, isn't that, I mean, if you want to help people, it seems like that would be a good attribute. And yet when you're getting your degree in psychology, they just try to pummel it out of you.
Exactly. I know. So I have to go.
Don't train a rat, you know?
Right.
Yes.
That's right. Even rats need mothering.
I know. I worry so much about my rat. I was like, what are they going to do with him when I'm dead?
Right. Well, it sounds like you're very loving yourself.
I feel that way. I always have felt that way since I was a little girl. I like to joke, my parents and my sister kind of used me as their therapist.
Yeah.
Then when I got to college, they voted my room Grand Central Station, because there were so many people in and out of my room asking me for advice and guidance. I'm 18,
oh,
I don't know anything, you know.
Right, but it's your presence that was enough.
My life was a mess, and all these people were asking me for advice. there's always been something that really resonated with me, and just has always seemed like a calling.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
Well, my dear, mother to the world, Sunji Kim, you're just amazing. You're a light. You have so much light in you.
Thank you so much, Veronica.
And I hope you get lots of phone calls. You know, the file, there will be an archive of this show, which our listeners can go listen to it again. And I'll make sure you get a copy so you can put it up on your brand new website and people can listen to us again.
Okay, great.
All right, and that website again is motheringundermotheredwomen.com. You should go there right now and take a look at Sunji Kim. She's just so much light and love coming out of her face. It's worth just going there to look at her beautiful face.
Oh, thank you, Veronica. I like your website, too.
Thank you, darling. You have a wonderful weekend, what's left of it. And,
oh, thank you. Same to
we'll
you.
We'll probably bring you on again, maybe, you know, 4 or 5 months from now. You can tell us how you've gotten so much business you don't know what to do with it.
Okay. Maybe you'll be a co-worker with me.
Okay, yes.
Yes, right. Okay. So.
All right, my dear. Thanks so much for joining us in the Shame-Free Zone.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in tonight. If you liked what you heard and you want more solutions for your love life, please call me toll-free at 888-903-0050. Once again, that number is 888-903-0050. I am the only person who answers that line, and I am usually available Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Pacific Time. You can also visit sexwithoutshame.com to discover more of what I can do for you. And remember, your secret is safe with you.